Fresh manna fell to the ground as a gift from God while the Israelites were in the wilderness. This is what they ate for 40 years. It was fresh from the ovens of heaven, baked by the master baker himself. How the Israelites must have anticipated the taste and the smell of each morning's delivery. Just like the Israelites, you too can now experience the taste and the smell of fresh manna. Today, you'll be listening to Stephen Conway, pastor of the Troy Seventh-day Adventist Church. And now, here's Pastor Stephen.
Happy Sabbath, everyone. Bow your heads together with me, please, for a word of prayer. Father, we are thankful for the privilege we have to be alive today. And we have been drawn together in this place at this time. Those who are here in this building, in this sanctuary, as well as those who have joined us, who are watching online, I pray, dear Lord, that virtue would go out from you to each and every one of us. Lord, I pray that you would help us to find encouragement in your word. Thank you for what you have already provided for us that perhaps we are unaware of. Be with those who are grieving during this time. Be with those who need you to do something for them, whatever it may be. Some are in need of healing. Some have been offering petitions, and they are awaiting your answer. Whatever the case may be, I ask, dear Lord, that you would be our I am today. Thank you in advance for hearing and answering our humble requests in Jesus' name. Amen. Soon after the publication of John Stott's 1971 revised edition of Basic Christian, he received a letter. And this letter read like this. Dear John, thank you for writing Basic Christianity. It led me to make a new commitment of my life to Christ. I am old now, nearly 78, but not too old to make a new beginning. I rejoice in all the grand work you are doing. Yours sincerely, Leslie Weatherhead. Now, this might not move anyone, but Leslie Weatherhead was one of the most respected and influential Christian leaders in the United Kingdom. Thousands, literally thousands, heard him preach at City Temple. His books were read widely. He pioneered in the field of pastoral counseling, and he was president of the Methodist Conference. Yet, at 78 years old, he was not too proud or too worn out to make a fresh commitment of his life. The title of our message today is Renewed. Renewed. The Bible often speaks of renewal without us even being aware of it. This was interesting for me as I was preparing for this message. This renewal is individual. It is also for families and ultimately, we would see it in the scriptures for the entire nation of Israel. Let's take a look at a few passages together. The first one is found in the book of Genesis, chapter 17. Then God said to Abraham, "As for Sarai, your wife, you shall not call her name Sarai, but Sarah shall be her name. And I will bless her and also give you a son by her. Then I will bless her, and she shall be a mother of nations. Kings of people shall be from her. Then Abraham fell on his face and laughed and said in his heart, shall a child be born to a man who is 100 years old? And shall Sarah, who is 90 years old, bear a child? And Abraham said to God, oh, that Ishmael might live before you. Then God said, no. Don't you just love it when God says no? Now, most of us would say, no, I don't love it when God says no. But others of us wish that God would say no. It's simply a desire to hear something from him. You ever been at that point in your life? Even if it's no, just make it plain, God. No. But God doesn't just say no. He gives an explanation. Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac. I will establish my covenant with him for an everlasting covenant and with his descendants after him. You have to understand why this is a renewal, why I picked this passage. There have been 13 years, how long did I say? 13 years of silence, biblical silence, that is, between Abraham and God, ever since he made the choice to listen to the suggestion of his wife, Sarai, and add to their family a second wife in Hagar. And of course, the birth of Ishmael would follow. And Ishmael is 13 years old. And at this point, there is no biblical account that God has spoken to Abraham. Have you ever been in that place in your life where you've done something, perhaps, that you were aware God did not smile upon, and you have wanted to hear the voice of God, but there is only silence? 13 years later, Genesis chapter 17 is where we find God speaking to Abraham, and he has a surprise for him, which we read about. Now, the fascinating thing, and this is why I picked this as one of the examples of biblical renewal, is we will find that God renews his covenant with his people whenever his people have stepped outside of that covenant. God never told Abraham to take a second wife. He never did. Abraham chooses this on his own in disobedience to what God had said he would do for him. And so God renews the covenant in Genesis chapter 17 with Abraham and promises, specifically promises, that he will have a son whose name would be Isaac, and his everlasting covenant, which, by the way, was offered to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, his everlasting covenant would continue through Isaac. If that's clear, say amen. Aren't you glad that even though sometimes God allows us to walk in our own choices and we cry out to God for deliverance from our own choices and the consequences of our own choices, aren't you glad that God doesn't leave us alone? Some of us have felt in the ebbs and flows of life like saying to those in our community, you made your bed. I'm glad that God is merciful and gracious enough to pursue us even when we have decided to go outside of his will. Genesis chapter 35, another biblical example of renewal. The Bible says, "Then God said to Jacob, arise, go up to Bethel and dwell there and make an altar there to God who appeared to you when you fled from the face of Esau, your brother." Verses 5 through 7, "And they journeyed, and the terror of God was upon the cities that were all around them, and they did not pursue the sons of Jacob. So Jacob came to Luz, that is Bethel, which is in the land of Canaan, he and all the people who were with him. And he built an altar there and called the place El Bethel, because there God appeared to him when he fled from the face of his brother." You have to understand why this is a renewal, because in Genesis 34, Dinah, who was the daughter of Jacob, was shamed by the son of Shechem. And her brothers weren't just going to let that slide. So her brothers, led by Simeon and Levi, decided upon a plan. They would take advantage of the circumcision of all of the males in the town of Shechem, and they would slaughter all of the males. This was their act of revenge. Genesis 35, verse 1, God directs Jacob to take his family back to Bethel. And there he builds an altar. There are two times in the book of Genesis that we see altars being built. One of the times refers to when they are praising God because of his leadership and his guidance. The second is when there is a covenant renewal. And there at Bethel, again, Jacob and his family, first Abraham, an individual, now Jacob and his family enter into a renewed covenant with God. Did you know that individually our covenants with God can be renewed? Did you know that as families, our covenant with God can be renewed? I mean, think about that. Isn't that wonderful? Now, I know I'm not talking to anybody in here, but let's just imagine that some of us as parents either lost our tempers or we said something that was unkind and unchristlike, or perhaps the Spirit of God brought something back to your mind that happened eons ago. Not really eons, decades ago. Did you know that it is possible for us to bring our children, even as adults or little ones, together and renew our covenant with God? Now, in this case, what I like about this, it was not Jacob who had gone outside of the covenant of God. It was his sons. And yet Jacob brings his family together in obedience to the word of God. And as a family, they renew their covenant to God. Mothers and fathers, when we have spoken out of turn and not rightly represented Jesus to our children, let's bring them together and renew our covenant with God. Deuteronomy chapter 29. These are the words of the covenant which the Lord commanded Moses to make with the children of Israel in the land of Moab. The land of Moab. Besides the covenant which he made with them in Horeb. Now Moses called all Israel and said to them, "You have seen all that the Lord did before your eyes in the land of Egypt to Pharaoh and to all his servants and to all his land, the great trials which your eyes have seen, the signs and those great wonders. Yet the Lord has not given you a heart to perceive and eyes to see and ears to hear to this very day. And I have led you 40 years in the wilderness. Your clothes have not worn out on you and your sandals have not worn out on your feet. You have not eaten bread, nor have you drunk wine or similar drink, that you may know that I am the Lord your God." That puzzled me at first. What do you mean you haven't eaten bread? Of course they ate bread. No, they did not eat bread as it was normally made. They ate manna, from heaven. Some versions will say you have not drunk wine or fermented drink. Why? Because the Lord provided fresh water for them on a daily basis. When you came to this place, Sihon, king of Heshbon, and Og, king of Bashan, came out against us to battle, and we conquered them. Weren't supposed to win that battle, but with God, victory is inevitable. We took their land and gave it as an inheritance to the Reubenites, to the Gadites, and to half the tribe of Manasseh. Therefore, keep the words of this covenant and do them, that you may prosper in all that you do. All of you, stand today before the Lord your God, your leaders and your tribes and your elders and your officers, all the men of Israel, your little ones and your wives, also the stranger who is in your camp, from the one who cuts your wood to the one who draws your water, that you may enter into covenant with the Lord your God and into his oath, which the Lord your God makes with you today. The blessings and curses in the previous chapters have been read to the people, and this comes on the heels of national apostasy. They were on the borders of the promised land, and the men transgressed with the women of the land, and the covenant is renewed. The covenant is renewed. This is the fascinating thing, again, friends, about God. Listen to me, friends. He does not wait for his people to become aware of their need, but God takes the initiative and draws near and offers a renewal of the covenant, seemingly moments after they have violated the covenant. Sometimes we are unaware of what we need. And I'm glad that God doesn't wait for us to become aware of our needs. He draws near to us so that he might help us to see our need. The question is this, though, friends. How does a perfect and holy God maintain a covenant with people who are not perfect and holy? How does God maintain and continue on in covenant with people who readily transgress and break his covenant? Here it is. God makes provision for their weakness. Let me say that again. God makes provision for their weakness. Let me help you to understand this or see this by using a common illustration. Let's say that I was a single man and I'm getting ready to marry a woman, and the woman that I'm going to marry, this woman actually is in a wheelchair because she does not have the use of her legs. Are you with me so far? As a husband, how do I make provision for her? This is what I do. I build a ramp that helps her to get in and out of the house. I make arrangements, expanding perhaps the shower so that she can go in and out and have use of the shower. I put railings, you know, ones that are horizontal and vertical so that she can move herself in and out of the bed. I expand the doorways in my home. I'm doing all of this as a means, hear me, friends, as a means of making provision for her disability. For me to marry her and bring her into my home, knowing what her disability is, without making provision, is foolish. Perhaps even criminal. And so, I'm sharing this to suggest that a holy and perfect God who enters into covenant relationship with you and I, knowing our weaknesses and our brokenness and our inabilities and disabilities must make provision. Jesus does this for us. Now, I have to explain something to you just momentarily. The Bible talks of many covenants, but there's actually only one covenant in all of Scripture. It's the everlasting covenant. We read about it already in Genesis. We read about it in the book of Revelation. Here's the thing. When the Bible is talking about covenants, there are different points of emphasis. Why don't you say that last E word with me? There are different points of emphasis in the different covenants or the different phases of the covenant, but it's all the same covenant. Let me help you to understand this again, because you might say, that doesn't make sense. I think it will. I ask my children in the context of my home, and they don't always do a good job, but I ask my children to help to keep our house clean. One of their responsibilities is to keep their rooms clean. This is a point of emphasis. Why? Because I want them to understand personal responsibility. Are you with me? But I don't only ask them to keep their rooms clean. I also ask them to clean the bathroom. I also ask them to clean the kitchen. Oftentimes, I have to stop my wife from doing these things. And I will say, what are you doing? She will say, I'm cleaning. And I will say, why are you doing that? Because it needs to be done. Didn't we ask them to do this? Yes, we did. So stop doing that. Let's remind them that this is their responsibility. Why am I doing this? In their rooms, I'm emphasizing personal responsibility. In the bathroom, in the kitchen, I am emphasizing a communal responsibility. Because you're a part of a family, because you're a part of a community, you do not just live for yourself. You don't just keep your own space clean and expect mama and daddy to clean up. No. We are a team. We are a family. And so out of love and respect for one another, there are common spaces that are utilized, and it is also your responsibility to help keep these clean. Can you understand what I'm saying? Cleanliness is the overall covenant, as it were, but there are different points of covenant emphasis depending on whether it's the room or the common space. Does that make sense to you? And so God in his everlasting covenant emphasizes promise. He also emphasizes law. He also emphasizes grace. He emphasizes all of these various things. So one covenant. So here, to our scripture reading. Thank you for reading that scripture with us. Wonderful job. Luke chapter 22. This is Jesus. The night of his betrayal, the Bible says, likewise, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you. This is powerful because Jesus understands that the earthly temple will not always be there. And without an earthly temple, the context of their renewal would need to be different. Now, when Jesus institutes in the breaking of the bread and the giving of the wine, when he institutes what we refer to as communion, he is also renewing and giving the emblems of the covenant renewal to a new generation of Christ followers. You see, beloved, whenever we partake of the broken bread and the wine, what we are engaging in is a covenant renewal with God. I want you to grasp, please grasp that. I'm sure you've heard that before, but the solemnity of baptism is essentially what we are engaging in with covenant renewal. All the examples from Genesis 35, Genesis 17, Deuteronomy chapter 29, over and over again, we could select so many more examples from the Bible of covenant renewal. All of the solemnity is concentrated into a small piece of broken bread and a little cup, where Jesus says, as often as you do this, I want you to remember me. Remember me in what sense? Remember me in the sense of your covenant with me. Now, what I didn't explain to you, and whether it was in Genesis chapter 35, especially, or in Deuteronomy chapter 29, whenever there was covenant renewal, there was always a sacrifice. In fact, when you entered into a covenant, there was a sacrifice. That's why Moses sprinkled blood on the words of the covenant. That's why Abraham built an altar, because he was offering a sacrifice. There was always a sacrifice that attended either entrance into a covenant or covenant renewal. And so Jesus pledges himself. I guess I should take you back to Genesis chapter 15, where God enters into covenant with Abraham, and there are animals that are cut apart, and God passes through the midst of these severed animals. God passes through the midst of these severed animals. Say that one more time. God passes through the midst of these severed animals. According to ancient Near Eastern customs, both parties were to pass through the midst of the severed animals. But in Genesis chapter 15, it's only God who passes through. Why? Because God is in essence saying, if I don't hold up my end of the covenant, may I be torn in two. Now, can God lie? Does God keep his promise? And he has pledged himself. In very real terms, the Bible teaches us that Jesus' body, represented by the veil, was torn in two. And through that, you and I have access to the very presence of God. In very real terms, my friends, every time we participate in the taking of the bread and wine, it is an official renewal of our covenant with God. When I was a little child, I just wanted to drink the grape juice. I'm telling the truth. Everybody in the church drinking grape juice but me. What do I have to do to get my juice? But now I understand is more important than the bread and the wine. I wouldn't miss an opportunity to renew my covenant with God. But I just want to remind you that a renewed covenant with God may also mean a renewed covenant with your family. a renewed covenant with your spouse. A renewed covenant with your siblings. Yeah. You see, in heaven's ordained ways, it's not just about getting right with God. When we are right with Him, we are right with one another. A renewed covenant with your parents. Some of us still have the blessing of our parents. Imagine what that would look like for you. Bow your heads with me and close your eyes. Father, thank you that in your tremendous love and wisdom, you have made provision for our weakness. You are loving and responsible. And we see this because you would not dare enter into covenant with us without having already made provision for us and our weaknesses. Lord, I know that often many of us, we see ourselves as having separated from you. And we count the days and months and years and we say, well, it's been years since I'm not that anymore because I have. But the reality is that even when we as human beings turn our backs on our covenant with you, you are a faithful covenant keeper with us. You have not relinquished your love for us, your desire for us. And even at this very moment, forgiveness for all the mountain of things that have interrupted our connection and our covenant commitment with you. Even now, through Jesus, all of those things can be forgiven. Oh Lord, today I pray that those under the sound of my voice who choose would renew their covenant with you. How fascinating a thought that you have never let us go, even when we've let you go. It's like that little child who's riding or learning to ride his or her bicycle, and mom or dad or uncle or auntie or brother or sister passes out of sight and they become fretful. No, don't let me go. And what they can't see is that there is still a hand holding on. Praise God that even though we couldn't feel it and even though we couldn't see it, that your hand has still been there for each one of us. That abiding love is the motive for our covenant renewal. We don't deserve it, but thank you. Now I pray that your Spirit would be with us in a very real way, and that our covenant renewal with you would spill over into covenant renewals with family, spouses, parents, children, brothers, sisters. Make us a renewed people is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Stephen Conway, pastor of the Troy Seventh-day Adventist Church. If you've enjoyed his sermon, why not visit his church or a church near you listed on strongtowerradio.org? The Troy Seventh-day Adventist Church is located at 2775 Crooks Road in Troy, Michigan, and their church service begins at 10:45 a.m. This has been a Strong Tower Radio production.